Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Good day, everyone. Welcome to The Session. I'm your host, Justin Crosley, and today we have a bit of a special edition of The Session. It's taken me a little time to get this show into the rotation, but back in July of this year, I had the opportunity to travel over to Paris, France, for the Outland Brewery 11th anniversary extravaganza. They called it 10 plus 1 because I think they missed the COVID year. but still their 11th. And Outland was founded by two of my very good friends and still run today by one of them, Jan Geffroyd. If you haven't heard of Jan before on the show, I met him way back before brewing, around 2000. So long before either of us were in the brewing industry. And Jan was an elementary school teacher in Paris back then, and I was working whatever odd job I had at the time. But several years later, in 2005, I started the Brewing Network, and Jan would join me from time to time on my adventures, traveling to breweries, helping me shoot video, and slowly becoming obsessed with craft brewing. So fast forward another 7 years or so, and Jan decided his calling was no longer to be a teacher, but to create a community, a community-oriented craft brewery full of creativity, surrounded by artists and entrepreneurs, and be part of the very fledgling, at the time, craft beer scene in Paris, France. One of the very first breweries to open there, his brewery Outland, slowly helped build the bustling scene that exists today and really continues to inspire brewers, artists, even fashion designers and creatives of all types. So today, as I said, Outland is 11 years into its journey, and it shows no signs of slowing down. On the particular day of the recording I'm about to play for you, which was from back in July of 2022, Outland was throwing a massive block party in the Paris suburb of Fontenay. Jan had invited craft brewers from all over France, as well as England and Sweden, and honestly, probably more countries and places, but I had far too good a time to remember all of them. So forgive me if I'm leaving you out. What I do remember, though, is that true to form, Jan was all about the community of people and brewers there that day. So much so that we didn't even really have time to sit down and talk about his journey to this milestone. So we'll have to get to that in another episode. Instead, he sat me down with some of the brewers that have inspired him, and I think that he's inspired as well, and let me learn more about the craft beer scene in France from some really amazing people. So what follows that I'm going to play you is just a fraction of their story, but it was a great pleasure of mine to be a part of the entire event and get to listen to these kind and creative folks. So without further ado, as they say, here is my interview. You're going to hear from Danielle Thirier from the Thirier Family Brewery, Craig Allen from Craig Allen Brewing Company, and Jean-Baptiste, who goes by JB, and he's with ZooBrew out there. All of them just wonderful people, great brewers. I just had some wonderful beer while I was there. So let's dive into that, and I hope you enjoy it at least half as much as I did. Here we go. Welcome to the session, ladies and gentlemen. The first time ever live from Paris, France. We're not quite in Paris. We're in one of the suburbs, but it's the same thing. And we're at my friend Jens Brewery called Outland Brewery. You've heard about it on the show before. And he's having his 10th anniversary. It's really his 11th anniversary, but he's French. And he's calling it 10 plus 1 because he's just kind of weird that way. He had to skip a COVID year. So I think that's why it's 10 plus 1. I'm not here on this recording with Yen right now. I'm here with a few other brewers because he's thrown a giant celebration with, I don't know, maybe 20 different brewers here from around the UK. Around Europe, the UK, France. And right now I have three French brewers with me, and we're going to try to communicate in English. One of them's not actually French, but he's been here long enough that you've adopted him as a French brewer, I think.
Sure.
So first, we have Danielle from Thierry Brewery. And Danielle, you're one of the first craft brewers in France. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it.
How long have you been a brewery?
So this year is our 26th year.
Okay.
So I founded the brewery in 1996.
Yeah.
This time nobody was talking about craft beer. Nobody could understand what's going on.
Sure.
But yeah, I started early, yes.
How did you learn about craft beer back then? Even in the US, craft beer was very small.
Yeah, it was starting at the moment. Yeah. In fact, my wife is from Canada. So I had the opportunity to travel over in Canada and Northeast America. Mm-hmm. And also part of my family lives in London, well, UK.
Okay.
So I could see, you know, it was starting in the 90s. And I had the idea that, craft beer will be somewhere.
Sure.
You know, it was crazy. Like, I'm from Lille, from northern France. There's a strong tradition about beer, history.
Ah.
But most of the brewery went out of business and stopped, and only the big ones were there.
Okay.
And then the choice, you couldn't find the beer, really nice beer. You know, the choice was very narrow. And
sure.
I was convinced it was a problem. And we should have more choice, more taste. And I started.
Did you know how to brew? Did you have to go to school?
I studied political science and history, so nothing to do.
Okay.
And then I've worked for about more than 10 years as a human resources manager, so nothing to do with beer. But, you know, if you are passionate about something, you can learn it. Okay, so I mostly went to Belgium.
Okay.
Institut Meurice, which is in South Brussels. And I got training there, lab work. I could pick up a special yeast strain there. And I still work with them for quality control.
Oh, yeah.
So my brewery is very close to the Belgian border. So it was very helpful at this time.
Yeah. So no home brewing background. You went to school and became a professional.
Yeah, so I also homebrewed.
Ah, okay.
Of course, a little bit. I think I studied homebrewing very, very early. I was a student in Paris. So that was the 70s.
Ah.
So I probably was first homebrewer in France.
You probably were.
Yeah, and I could buy kits, you know, from England.
Okay.
Because it was impossible to find. And the beer was terrible. It was not good.
The kits were just like a can,
yeah,
right?
Like a big can.
And you boil
exactly.
It.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was interested by chemistry, by mixing thing, by, you know, that's kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, then I had another job, as I explained. And when I get about 35 years old, I decided to change my life. You know, my brewery is more than beer. It's life's choice.
Yeah.
With my family, living in the countryside, being my own boss.
Sure.
Organizing my time and my life as I want, as I wish.
Sure.
And
these are questions I'll have for each one of you that are here today. Especially back then, this choice you made was also risky.
Yeah.
So was it an instant success, or at least did people accept this beer that you were bringing back that wasn't a big industrial beer?
Yeah, it was a success in a way. I mean, I could live on this quite soon. It was not a huge success because it was difficult to find places to sell the beer. We didn't, you know, craft bar, beer bars or beer shops didn't exist.
Okay.
At the time. So it was.
But even regular bars, did they just think you were weird and crazy?
Yeah. They thought. The first places where I could sell my beer were restaurants.
Ah.
Because in restaurants, they first taste the beer.
Yeah.
In bars, they ask the price. You know, that's a big difference.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And in restaurants, chefs, you know, cuisine. And then also in, we find some places. And also we had a shop at the brewery. So local people, they were very, you know, curious about. So we had visits, tours.
Okay.
And it started like this.
And what were the first beers? Was it Saison? Was it traditional French beer?
Yeah. So the first beer and still the flagship beer, it's called Blonde d'Esquelbec.
Okay.
So it's name of the village. And it's a 6.5. So it's kind of compromise between the Belgium Saison and Northern France Bière de Garde.
Okay.
So it's a bit stronger than the Saison, but it's more hoppy and drier than the Bière de Garde.
I see.
It's in between.
Yeah.
So it's really my favorite beer. I decided to brew what I want to drink.
Okay, that's good.
And still, it's true.
Today,
I'm not thinking about what my customers would like. No, I think what I would like to drink.
Nice. Okay?
And it's working, yeah.
Do you have any American-style beers now? Have you had to brew IPA to satisfy?
No. I brew a double IPA.
Okay.
But really my way, but inspired by a Russian River. Because I visited, I met Vinny, River Brewery, and I was so impressed. So I decided to brew something in this style.
Okay.
But it's kind of exception. My brewery is more focused about Saison, Grisette, farmhouse ales.
Yeah.
You know, and relatively low ABV and local hops.
Okay. All right. Local French hops.
Yeah, mostly French hops or European hops.
What are the hop varieties that are grown?
I use a lot of Brewer's Gold, which is grown locally. A lot of Streusel Spalt from East Alsace. I love some hops from Kent, just across the channel.
Yeah,
like Bramling Cross, Fuggles, East Kent Golding.
I love Fuggles and Goldings.
I like these kind of hops. Okay,
Your double IPA.
I also like Citra, and but mainly I like these kind of earthy, more green hops.
What's in your double IPA?
In double IPA, it's Simcoe, Nugget, Citra.
Okay.
And Aramis for the French touch.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. I brought us some Pliny, fresh Pliny, so we can share that after the show.
That would be a good something great.
It's fresh.
Have you ever tasted it?
Yeah, I have. I have.
Pliny the Elder.
I could taste it again.
I brought us some of that, and I brought us some other hoppy brewers from where I live that I really like. Altamont Brewing Company is a new one that I just really like the way they use hops. And I think they use English yeast in a way to accentuate it. So,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe I'll put a recording on when we taste it so people can hear what you all think about it. But we'll do that a bit later. Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to come back to Danielle too. But also, we want to speak with Craig Allen, who is with Craig Allen Brewing Company, also here in France. But you're not French.
No, I'm from Scotland.
From Scotland, right.
Yeah.
But how long have you been here?
So this time, 12 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I lived previously for about 3 years in Burgundy. So overall, 15 years.
And how did you marry French?
My wife is French, and I met her in Scotland when we were both working for a whiskey company, in fact. Mm.
Were you a distiller? No.
I studied malting, brewing, and distilling in Edinburgh.
Okay.
And I worked in a brewery, and then briefly for a company that sold whiskey, bought and sold single cask whiskey. That's where I met my wife. We came over to Burgundy for a few years and back to Scotland, a couple of different breweries, and then definitively back to France in 2010.
Okay. And is that when you started the brewery?
Yeah, I started the business in 2010 in France. Yeah.
Were you a brewer somewhere else before?
I worked in three different breweries.
Okay. So you already knew what you were doing.
I'd made a lot of mistakes elsewhere, yeah.
Okay, but great.
Most of the mistakes I've made elsewhere, yeah.
And is your, and I actually have this question for all of you, too. Is it a brew pub, a place people can come, or is it just a production brewery?
I think we all have production breweries, yeah.
With a tasting room, or?
I have just a shop.
But just a shop,
we're
okay.
We're really in the rural France, so
okay.
I think a tap room would be a bit ambitious. You know?
Oh, I see.
It's
there's just not a population there.
No.
So you do you both and you too, Danielle. You just distribute all of your beer out of the brewery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do have a shop, same, and a tasting room.
Yeah. Okay. You have tasting
so
room.
So visitors
yeah.
can have a drink there, but it's not really a brew pub.
Yeah.
Same. I'm in a village. You know, okay. Pretty little. Small village, so it's closed only in the evening.
Okay.
So we distribute with bottles and kegs.
And how many hectoliters per year?
We keep it small. We struggle to keep it small, so now it's 2,500
okay.
hectoliters.
Yeah. And Craig?
Well, it's about 1,000 last year.
Did either of you grow during COVID or decline?
We went down a lot. Down about 30%.
Down, okay. And back now, or what do you think?
Back a little bit, but...
Yeah,
not back to normal. No.
Okay. All right. I want to talk about more about that too. But let's first introduce JB from ZooBrew. But this one is in. Don't tell me. I'm going to screw it up anyway. Marseille?
No, Montpellier.
Montpellier. That was even close.
I'm like Craig. JB. I'm not really French. You know, I'm from south of Brittany.
Oh, that's true. I've heard.
You know, like anywhere
Brittany
you're
French
from,
are different.
Yeah, the only French are maybe from Paris, but
you know, Yen's dad is from Brittany originally.
Yeah, is he?
And he's a fucking weirdo like you are.
Yeah. We all are.
So, how long has ZooBrew been?
Well, first of all,
yes,
I want to say I'm very happy to be here with Danielle and Craig. Craig, when I was a very young brewer, was the first. French IPA I had, and so I'm just very happy. And Daniel, of course, after.
He's a legend.
Yeah. When I came back from New Zealand, maybe we talk about that later.
Yeah.
Daniel, I tried this beer, and I have to say I'm very happy to be here drinking a beer with those two old guys who are...
Well, cheers to them. And I'm drinking your beer,
cheers,
as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, tell me about your beer first, and then we can go back to the good stuff.
Yeah, so ZooBrew, it's only 5 years old.
Wait. Tell me about this beer
first. It's south of France. So we're drinking about the collab we did with Outland for the 10 years old.
Nice. That's what this is.
Yeah.
The anniversary beer.
So that's a saison with apricot. So it's quite a dry beer because it's spent a year, more than a year in barrels from of wine in from my region, which is Occitanie, with Brett, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite nice, refreshing, I think.
It's more than Brett, too. Like
it's fruity.
Lactobacillus, too.
Yeah.
A blend.
True. We put a blend, a little bit of Peggio and Lacto.
Yeah. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Yep. A nice fruit character coming out of it, too. It's not too sour. It's not too acidic.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of on the mild side, which I like.
When we did the tasting with Fabio, which is the brewer of Outland, which was quite a great afternoon. We had to try 10 different barrels and try all the combination.
That's
and,
a good afternoon.
Of course, as professional as we are, we decided that, man, we just blend the all 10 barrels.
Oh, really?
That was the best. It was actually the best thing to do. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with this beer.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Okay,
thank
so
you.
Back to, sorry, how long have you been a brewery?
So the brewery is only 5 years old.
Okay.
I'm a brewer. I did the same school as Craig Allen, Heriot Watt in Scotland. I'm a brewer since 2008.
Okay.
I did a few jobs all around the world. And I came back in 2015. We started the brewery in France. We started the brewery in 2017, so 5 years ago. And we're trying to do all kind of beer, American influence kind of beer, like American Pale Ale, IPA,
okay.
With Australian hops. we're trying like this beer we're tasting now, Saison barrel age, Russian Imperial Stout. You know, we're trying everything. We have no limits.
Okay, so yeah, you don't care if it's American style or French style, or just try it all.
Yeah, no, we're curious kind of people, and we're trying everything.
And was that, so that's, I said I'd kind of have the same question. Was that received well in your city, like where you started to have these either American styles or styles that maybe people weren't used to?
Oh, yeah, no, we had all the hard work done by those two guys.
Ah, yeah, okay.
They did all the hard work, and when I started being a brewer in 2009 in France, I was working for breweries. It was only blonde, amber,
wow.
You know, only colors. Lucky for us, we had Daniel and Craig, doing their job, and now I went to New Zealand. I got lots of inspiration from this country, and opened my mind a lot.
Great brewers and people there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I came back to France, and then I only had to, harvest the what those guys did.
Already did, yeah.
Yeah. So I
like your style.
I did a pale ale, sour, Berliner Weiss. I tried to do barrel age, Russian Imperial. You know.
Yeah.
Well.
Just a bit of everything.
A bit of everything, and but we are especially kettle sour kind of a brewery. We like this kind of beer. Yeah.
Popular in the U.S. too, kettle sours now, to speed up the process.
Okay.
And Craig, I didn't ask you, but you are mostly American style beers. Did you tell me before the show?
I wouldn't. No, really. No,
no.
I like American hops, but I would say. Like probably a mixture of British influence, Belgian and American.
Okay,
yeah,
got it. So a bit of
I've never done a really over the top, like double dry hopped, double IPA or something like that. All of the breweries I worked in Scotland, it was quite traditional British beer, you know.
Okay, got it.
I like a lot of Belgian. I like the influence of the yeast gives to Belgian beer.
Okay.
So and American hops. So, but most of my beers are quite balanced. You know,
I don't
really do extreme stuff.
So, what's an example of your lineup right now? What maybe four beers that I would find?
Well, probably the best known is Agent Provocateur.
Okay.
Which is like a, let's say it's like a Belgian pale ale. It's difficult to. I've never known how to pin it down, but it's like
I've
a sort of hoppy
beer.
Belgian pale ale.
Yep.
So it's Belgian yeast, British grist, I suppose, pale ale malt, a little bit of crystal, and American hops.
Okay.
But it's not over the top, you know, it's quite balanced. These days it's pretty tame, you know.
Sure.
In the market today. When that one came out, it was a bit different, you know.
Yeah.
But now it's like...
mild. It's like I've talked to the guys at Sierra Nevada about that. Where Sierra Nevada Pale Ale in the U.S. was this groundbreaking bitter beer. Too bitter for most of America. Oh, hang on. Oh, you're going to mix it. We're getting more beer in our glass. And now it's considered tame and mild.
Yeah,
right? But it's still a very hoppy beer.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I think Agent Provocateur is a bit like Sierra Nevada Pale Ale with Belgian yeast. And you know, I like the influence of Belgian yeast. It's more
okay.
So, but otherwise, I do. I've got British style beers with British stout.
Yeah.
English yeast.
Okay.
I really like playing with different yeast varieties. That's maybe it's a bit different to. I suppose the market these days has gone more towards the really over the top, dry hop stuff.
Sure.
So
and
the
then clean yeast.
The yeast is a bit more of a. You know, it's not that important. You know?
Yeah.
But I quite like having the interplay of yeast, malt, and hops. You know?
Okay. And you, Danielle, for yeast, do you use several different strains, or do you like Belgian?
I mostly use one strain.
Okay.
Which is kind of my beer, yeast, which I picked up when I started at the Institut Meurice. So the yeast strain is banked, belongs to the lab, but I have a kind of contract with them.
Okay.
And so I use, for 85% of my beers, I use this yeast strain.
I see.
Which gives a really, I love it. And it gives a specific character to most of my beers.
Sure, sure. Okay.
And now it's known even in the US as a, you know, French saison yeast.
Ah, so have we stolen it?
Yeah, it was stolen. Yeah. It's called the W1137.
All right. Yeah. Taken right from the bottle.
Yeah. No, I think it's mutated. It's okay. Not exactly the same. But
sure.
This long story about that.
Well, that's good.
But I love the yeast I use. Yeah.
Okay.
But like for the double IPA I was talking about, I use a different yeast.
Ah, okay.
Because the beer is too strong. And my yeast is kind of saison yeast, so
yeah.
It's very good, but it's not good for strong beers. You know, it doesn't like a strong alcohol. So,
yeah.
Some from time to time I use different.
Okay, the first kind of Belgian hoppy beers or hoppy beers from Europe that I had using Belgian yeast back in like 2007. You know. Yeah. I just didn't find that the yeast played very well with hops. And I think that's changed now. And I maybe that's because you've figured out how to use the right yeast with the right hops. But to me, they first just clashed quite a bit. If it was a very Belgian yeast, you know, that sort of quintessential Belgian and too hoppy, I just never enjoyed the flavor. But I think that's changed over time.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe...
Wait, do you remember?
That's just because the people were like, in a rush to respond to IPA.
So
they were in a rush to respond to IPA.
Yeah.
So they're just like, okay, what are we going to do? Okay, we're just going to use our
the standard,
yeast
yeah.
Put some hops and try something and marketing, you know, and they were not like... And, you know... People, some serious people.
Yeah, after experimenting.
Yeah, exactly. They were thinking about stuff. And of course, there are some good stuff coming that are being brewed today. But that's my opinion. They were just responding to a marketing thing. Like they thought, okay, IPA is coming strong.
Hmm.
So we have to do something because otherwise the beer coming from other country.
Mm-hmm.
Are just gonna, you know, be
sort of ruin the reputation.
Yeah. I don't know what you guys think.
Brewery Brasserie de la Seine.
Yeah,
I think he does wonderful things with hops and Belgian yeast, for example.
Yeah,
really kind of figured it out. And you and I were talking before the show, JB, about Kvike yeast.
Oh yeah,
and Kvike becoming across the world becoming popular to brew fast, right? And that's something you're very into.
Well, yeah, I like it. We did a few collab with this yeast, and you just have to just look at the
numbers.
It does,
and,
you know, like it's great beer. It's great yeast. It works fast. So it's easy to use and stuff. So
yeah,
I don't know. For a certain kind of beer, I don't think it's the answer to everything.
Sure.
Like that's what is great about beer is that you can't, you know, simplify everything. So Vike yeast, I think it's a great thing, and it's going to be big, and but it's not going to be, you know, hopefully
everything. Yeah. It's hard to deny when it can make beer so fast. Right, and removes the need for temperature control and all of those things. But I was telling you, I've had, that's another one, in the early days of Kvike, just a couple years ago, most of the beers I tried with it, I really didn't like. And I think brewers had to figure out how to use it or something, or the strains changed, I don't know. Have you guys had experience?
I've never tried that.
You've
one.
You've never tried it? No. Yeah.
I think Kvike is more for a pale ale, IPA, maybe.
Yeah.
We see in the future maybe for different kind of beer, but right now it's great for IPA, double IPA, some pale ales. But of course, if you want to do a barrel age farmhouse, you're not gonna. Oh, maybe Kvike.
Yeah.
Why not? You know.
Yeah. Why not?
That, you can't. That's why I'm a brewer. It's that you never never you can say you can't do this.
Yeah, you get to keep trying.
I think that's why we do this job, is that there is no limit. You can do whatever you want.
Sure. Yeah. So if we could just talk about to kind of close things a little bit, to talk about the French beer scene here. So I don't speak any French, but I've been coming here for almost 20 years. I really love this country. And when I started coming here, there really wasn't, well, at least I didn't find your beer. I was here in Paris, and Yann was not a brewer then. He was a teacher. So in Paris, I didn't drink craft beer. I drank
wine,
Kronenbourg, or wine.
Wine, yeah, sure.
I love wine, by the way. I'm not much of a liquor drinker, but I do really enjoy wine. So I would come here for wine. I go home with wine. I'll do the same this trip. I'll go home with wine. Some beer for my staff. But it really has changed, even in Paris alone. But it sounds like across France, much like the U.S., there's so many more breweries. How many would you say are in your town in France, in Montpellier?
Well, it's easy. When I started being a brewer, we were 400 breweries.
Okay.
So that was in 2009. Yeah.
Sorry,
400.
400
okay. In all of France.
And in 2008. And now it's like 3,000.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know it was even that much.
Oh, yeah. It's.
It's
incredible.
Crazy.
Wow. Do you consider that good for the industry as a whole? Does
Absolutely,
it help each of you? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just even in a small town, you know, a provincial town, there are people that are kind of conscious of having local craft beer, you know, whereas 5 years ago, it wasn't on the radar, you know.
Right.
Really, it's really radically changed.
Oh,
I mean, there's a lot of work to do, you know.
Sure.
But I noticed maybe starting from about 2015, some big change there.
Yeah.
In places like Paris, Lyon, you know, the big cities, but
right
now it's spreading out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know about American market. You Justin, can maybe tell me more. But
sure.
I think that in France we like 3,000 breweries now. But I think there are a vast majority that keep trying to make beer blonde, about colors, and just trying to make money out of it. And they, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I work in the business. I stay within my world, you know,
which
are breweries that are, I don't know. A bit like me, you know, it's hard to go see different breweries. I don't know many breweries that only brew 100 liters batch.
Right.
And I don't know about their quality. But what I see from the numbers that they are a vast majority as well.
I see.
So all I know is professional brewers that do maybe 1,000 hectoliters a year.
Yeah.
They are the main one I know. But they're not the majority.
Of the, okay.
So I don't, it's too hard to follow, you know, like to know what's the,
yeah,
what's the beer world in France.
So sure.
I would say a bit like what I assume, like in the States, like there are lots of breweries. And the average is good, but it's so big that it's hard to follow.
Well, and we've been through, and I suppose you guys are going to do this too. We've been through probably four cycles now in our craft beer business. So the first boom was in the 90s, about when you started here, actually. But there, it was quite a boom. Mm-hmm. But many of the people were getting into it for money, like you said. There were a few that mm-hmm. weren't. I mean, Sierra Nevada was the 80s, I think. They're one of the first. So we had that. And then as it grew, because they weren't as concerned about quality, many of them, there was what we kind of call the first shakeout. And so many breweries went out of business, mm-hmm. right? Then again, it slowly started to begin again, like in the early 2000s, kind of until where we are now. And now we're seeing, I think, two different things. We're seeing consolidation,
right? You see all the big breweries. I don't know if y'all, Stone just got bought by Sapporo two weeks ago. And that's been happening in the U.S. for 5 years now. What is it? The Dutch own Lagunitas. For the first time, I'm walking through Paris, and downtown Paris, and probably in like Nation, like right in the center, and there's a Lagunitas sign at the bus stop. And that to me is kind of surreal and how things have changed. But we're also seeing, even though we're having this consolidation, I think the only new brewery model that will make it, that seems to be making it in the U.S., is the small model, like you guys, where you're serving beer to your village and to your community. And you can still do some distribution. But I don't know that there's going to be another Lagunitas or another Sierra Nevada or another New Belgium anytime soon. I think we're on the down cycle of that kind of growth. So that we're just seeing, which to me is fine, we're seeing several small breweries serving most of it over the counter and some of it to bars like mine in their community.
Well, I think it's pretty hard to have a strong opinion about this kind of
thing.
Why? It's because I want to say, right now, I sell all over France with distributors, a little bit of supermarket, a little bit of restaurants, bars, a bit of everything, you know?
Yep.
And I'm thinking about the future and how I see it in France. My opinion is I need to do more stainless steel kegs, more local, and stuff like this, because in France they want more organic beer. I'm just talking about business, you know? They want local and stuff. It's fine. But that's my opinion.
Yeah.
And I don't have eyes everywhere. But maybe if I am a brewer who's more into the industrial world, I would say there is a big market for, industrial beer as well.
Here, I think you might be right. Yeah.
I don't know. I think in France, they like organic beer. They like local beer.
Yeah.
But the reality is maybe there is space as well for industrial beer. What I'm saying is that you can't be too extremist in your opinion. You have to be open-minded. But once you've decided what you want to do, just do it, and it should be fine, you know?
Yeah.
What we want to do as a brewery, as for Zubrew, we want to be a bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to try a bit of supermarket. Why we want to do that is because we want to show everybody that IPA, what it can be good, you know. I think we can sell our beer to a maximum of people with a supermarket.
Sure.
We want to try a bit of organic beer with one beer.
Try all the channels.
But, you know, as I said, I went to university to be a brewer. And now I'm ending up being a boss. Say in English.
Yeah.
So it's hard to run a business. So I'm trying to figure it out.
Sure.
And I'm trying to be a
brewer at the same time.
And be a good man.
Well, Vinny Chilurzo would have given you similar advice that you're giving right now. When the pandemic hit, I was interviewing him, and he talked about how the very small breweries that decided, I don't want to have distribution anymore. I don't want to have anything. I just want to sell everything over the counter. Well, when the pandemic hit, they were fucked because the counter got closed. You couldn't come inside anymore. And Vinny was saying, you know, he had some self-distribution, some contracted distribution, some over the counter, some export. He really had, and I don't think he was saying that he saw the future. He just felt that he was lucky that he had multiple sales channels like you're talking about. Yeah. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with doing that.
I totally agree with this. We are independent model. So we have to be independent also from our, you know, buyers, customers. So the same, we have many, many different customers.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest for me is 2.5% of my business.
Mm.
So even if it's, you know, it goes out of business, I don't mind in a way. I'm sad, but, you know, it's no risk. So I work very, very little with big hypermarkets or supermarkets. I don't work with them.
Okay.
Because they will never need my beers.
Yeah.
So if sometimes I need them, you know, it's not balanced. So.
Yeah, you're right.
And we struggle to be local because that's the future.
Okay.
Distribution far away is nice, but just, you know, on the edge, I would say that the
supplement.
Yeah, the heart is local.
Yeah.
And transport is heavy. Costs a lot.
Especially
now. So, yeah, the breweries have to focus on the area. The, you know.
It sounds like that would be your advice to new brewers
absolutely.
France.
Yeah.
What is your local market?
Yeah. And then if the beer is really special, you know, you can ship a few pallets or a few kegs, but the base of the business should be really around. When I started my brewery, I bought a map, you know, a paper map, and I drew circles around. 1 kilometer, 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers, and try to figure out how many people were living there, how much beer they were drinking. You know?
Oh yeah,
yeah. I studied like this.
Market study.
No, just try because I was convinced that my consumers mainly will be there.
Yeah,
this is not 100% because I also export a bit, but
okay.
It's just the how do you say the cerise. La cerise sur le gâteau?
The cherry on the cake.
On the cake.
Yeah.
Export is the cherry on the cake.
That's nice, yeah. I like that you had to say, you know, a paper map. Like a real map.
Yeah, because nobody knows, but it's just paper.
Well, he's got white hair on his head.
No, but you have to be clear about these things. I love it. That's funny.
Well, what I want to say is I agree with him. Like, I would love to sell my beer in my tap room. Today, my tap room is like 15% of the volume.
15, okay.
Yeah, 15. I would love to grow this number. But Montpellier, it's a big city in France. It's very dynamic.
Yeah.
Lots of brewery. So they're all friends. But, you know, it's a market very young, evolving and stuff. So how do we do? We can't do only local because it's we have many breweries in a small in one town, big town, big city, but still we're many here. So you know what I mean, like the local market. It's a good thing, but it's hard.
It's saturated a bit.
Yeah. So we have to go to other things. So Daniel is. Lucky, he's not from another region. He's not from Montpellier, and he's been here for a while, and he's been brewing beers for a long time. So he's been working very hard.
Sure.
And so, but me, I'm only 5 years old brewery. Lots of other very talentous. Is that a word?
Talented.
Talented. Yeah.
Brewers. Maybe. Yeah.
Brewers. In my town, so I have to
try everything.
Local. I'm trying everything. I'm trying to do gigs, music, you know, theater, everything.
To bring people in.
To bring people at the brewery so they can sell. But we are 10 people working at the brewery, so I have to pay wages and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to sell a little bit of beer for distributors.
Yeah. So you have a long career ahead of you.
As a
5-year-old brewery.
Well, I'm 36 now.
he's a baby to me.
Yeah, I'm a baby, yeah. Thank you.
So you've got time.
Yeah, we've got time.
The reason I bring that up is because I know your path. So your path is to work hard for the next 20-something years. But with consolidation and buyouts, I'm curious about you two and an exit plan. Do you think about exit plan and what you might do with your brewery, Danielle?
Of course. I'm working on it.
You're working on it.
Every day.
Okay.
So,
did you have a bunch of babies that have to take over the business?
The first idea at the beginning, I was thinking about selling my brewery.
Okay.
And, you know, and just... Because I live on the same... I bought an old farm.
Oh, yeah.
And I live and I work on the same spot.
Okay.
So I just... In the morning, I just cross the garden and get
beautiful.
My office. So all everything is... Okay. And now for the last 7 years, I've been working with my daughter.
Okay.
and now also her husband, so my son-in-law.
Yeah.
And they will take over the brewery.
Oh, wonderful.
Probably in 2 years from now.
So they like the business.
Yeah.
That's good.
So now we are working together, so they will get a perfect condition brewery, I would say.
Yeah.
That, you know, and so I'm slowing down. I wouldn't like, you know, to stop and go retire as most people do. Mm-hmm. I mean, work hard till Friday evening, have a party, and then Monday morning, nothing to do.
I think
it's crazy. So now I'm about maybe half time.
Okay.
You know, I go a lot on vacations and...
Good.
And so I'm slowly go to zero.
So you're in that process already.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and who wants to sit around and do nothing? So
exactly. Yeah. I'm not in a hurry. I love my job. I love being here. I love meeting friends, sampling beers. So I'm not, I must retire. No, not at all.
Yeah.
But then I want to travel again. I want to sail because I love sailing.
Oh,
I have many things to do.
I want to go sailing with you.
Can I come?
I also love sailing. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a process, you know.
Yeah.
A slow process.
Okay.
And my daughter and her husband, I think, will be very good.
Okay.
To run the brewery.
Yeah. Okay. And Craig, you're only 12 or so years in, right? So you've got some time, but do you think about this?
I'm starting to, a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got two sons, so the eldest is 12 years old.
Okay.
He doesn't like fizzy drinks.
He's got time still.
But that's a bad start.
It's a bad start, yeah.
But I don't know. I've got a similar situation to Daniel in so far as the brewery is opposite the house, you know, in the living room, you can see the steam coming out of the...
Oh, nice.
It's a farmhouse as well. So, I don't know. I didn't really want to have a big brewery. I wanted to have quite a small setup and just sort of live... We have a big garden. My wife gardens a lot. It's more a lifestyle thing as well, you know?
Yeah, for both of you. Yeah.
But as for passing it on, I haven't really thought too much about it yet, you know?
Sure.
It's too small, I think, to interest anyone for...
Yeah.
Like an acquisition, you know?
Sure. Well, and that was kind of another phase that you guys, I think, are years away from, right? Not just you, but the industry here is years away from consolidation.
Yeah. I mean, there are one or two that are getting quite big, you know, that are like maybe in the north, we've got Pays Flamand, or near Paris, there's Grand Paris. There are a few that are quite ambitious. Maybe getting up to 10,000-20,000 hectoliters.
Yeah.
So it's pretty big for France, you know?
Sure.
But, compared to America, it's still very small. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so you can just save up the money and then retire one day and don't even sell it, right?
I still have, my ambition is to, before I retire, put in a couple of stills and start making whiskey.
There you go.
And my retirement fund will be maturing stocks of whiskey.
Yeah, well, you kind of have to start that now, don't you? You got to mature it for 20 years, man.
Well, I had a dram in my hand on the 1st of January 2020. And I was all sort of set to maybe order some stills. And just the loan for the brewery will be paid off soon.
Okay.
And then COVID came along and sort of scuppered that. So
messed it all up.
And, maybe whiskey. That would be my exit plan.
There we go. All right, gentlemen. Well, I don't want to keep you much longer. So I just thank you so much for sitting with me and talking about this. I really like learning about, I like learning about beer, but I love France so much that it's kind of two of my favorite things together to get to talk about. So, Danielle, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Craig, thank you so much. JB, thanks for sharing your beer, too.
Well, thank you.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Merci.
Okay. Merci.
Salute.
And there you have it. I sure do wish I had more time in a quiet space with each of these brewers, and I will definitely try to do so in the future. I also want to share more of Jan's story and the journey of Outland Brewery, so I'll work on setting that up as well. In the meantime, if you find yourself in France, any one of these breweries, Thierrier, Craig Allen, and Zubrew, will more than satisfy your taste for fresh craft beer. Look them up and tell them that I sent you. That's it for this episode of The Session. European edition, I suppose. Man, how do I make that part of my regular gig? Sponsors, if you're listening, hit me up. All right, we'll see you next time. Until then, take care of yourselves and your beer. Cheers. The Session is a production of the Brewing Network and brought to you by More Beer. Check them out at morebeer.com. Find more content and live video of this show on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/brewingnetwork. For sponsorship opportunities and information, please reach out to advertising@thebrewingnetwork.com. To reach our hosts, contact feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.